Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7. The Ticket. As always, check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com, social medias, podcast platforms, television, or simply turn your radio dial at 93.7. All right, let's go ahead. Let's roll that Joel Klatt, the final clip, right off the top here, Jackson.
Started in earnest this week in Destin, Florida. You see, for so many years, the SEC, and rightly so, because they were the best conference, they leaned on the fact that they won national championships. So they didn't have to put out a bunch of conference-run propaganda. But because they have not done that, and in particular lost some high-profile games late in the season last year, they went full propaganda mode at their spring meetings. And as Brandon Marcello tweeted out, they handed out a propaganda packet. This is wild. He said the SEC has shared this packet on its football analytics to consider as the college football playoff format dominates conversations. What was that packet? It was a packet that read, title, "A Regular Season Gauntlet. When looking at the leading metrics that factor in the strength of schedule, the conclusion across all of them is clear. No other conference has a regular season as grueling as the SEC's." Now, listen, I'm not here to take shots at clearly what was the deepest conference a year ago. I'm not here to do that. I'm not even going to take shots at the SEC, even though it could be easy to do that. They're a league that refuses to play a ninth conference game. So they play 8 conference games. They play cupcakes in November, and then they scream at us that their regular season is so much more grueling. Now, listen, for some, that is the case, because in the large conference model, you have imbalances across schedule within conferences. So Florida and Oklahoma played a horrific schedule last year. Georgia played a horrific schedule last year. I'll absolutely give you that. But you can't say that across the board. You just can't. And by the way, is this what we're going to do? Are we going to sit here and just be in full propaganda mode? I for one, don't want to be in that mode. I would rather us start to define criteria a little bit more clearly for the fan bases, for the players, for the coaches, for everybody involved. Take the sport out of the boardroom. I'm so tired of the boardroom. Can't even handle that. Now,
all right. Now, let me be clear. I don't always agree with everything Joel says. He does a great job. People can disagree and still think that other people do a great job. I think he does a great job. But I don't always agree with everything he says. But my God. He just nailed, like, this whole thing, in my opinion, he just nailed it. And I'm with him as far as just being so confused as to why people outside the Big Ten, SEC in general would want this model, but especially the Big 12. And the ACC is not brought up that much as far as whether they support it or not just yet, but the Big 12, I don't get it. Okay. I will throw this out there randomly real quick before I explain the last two things I want to chat about here. I wouldn't hate the idea of going back to divisions because he talked about it. You look at Florida and Oklahoma's schedule again this year. It's just insane. And then you look at like Missouri, who was a preseason top 10 team a year ago. You look at Texas, who made the Final Four. Not exactly the toughest schedules in the world. Texas really played Georgia and I guess A&M at the end, but that was really about it. Florida basically played like an NFL schedule, and I've made that joke a million times, but it still rings true. And they're going to do it again this year. And Oklahoma's SEC specific schedule might actually be tougher than Florida's. Florida's got some out of conference like Miami and Florida State that they kind of did to themselves a little bit. But I wouldn't hate going back to divisions. It was just when divisions are so lopsided, like the Big Ten East and West were for a long time, I think that's why people were like, let's get rid of the divisions. I was always just kind of the mindset, just who cares about geography? Because nobody does anymore. Let's just make them competitively balanced, but keep divisions, because then everybody's playing the same teams and you don't have these imbalances in conference schedule. That's neither here nor there. It's not a big, gigantic deal. It's just something I thought I'd throw out there. Now, I'll come back to the 2.5, 2.5 model, the Joel, and we're not going to play that clip. I wrote it down. I got it. I don't love it. Don't hate it. Just thought I hadn't heard it before, so I throw it out there for folks. But here is the exact model, once again, that I prefer based on what's been proposed. Now, I will tell you right now, if I could just have the keys to the college football kingdom and start from scratch and do it exactly the way I want, it wouldn't be this. Because the Big Ten and SEC, again, taking my Nebraska hat off and put my college football priority hat on, the Big Ten and SEC would not wield all the power. It would be more balanced out between four conferences. That's the first thing I would do. Notre Dame's butt would join a conference. That'd be another thing I would do. Again, I'm going to get to that in July if I could start from scratch and just do it exactly the way I want. What this is based on what's been proposed, what seems possibly realistic if they ever agree on something. And I'm just going to read this to you. Let me find it real quick. All right. Per an insider talking about the four commissioners trying to get on the same page here from each conference, the fight, it appears, is getting nasty. Negotiations among the four power conference commissioners, they have started meeting separately from other college football leaders, have produced disagreement. Discord lingers over the amount of automatic qualifiers designated for each conference, end quote. Again, if the Big 12 and ACC have an issue with the 4-4-2-2-1-1 or 4-4-2-2-1-3 model, they're nuts. From my understanding, the Big 10 and SEC have proposed this, so they're apparently okay with it. The Big 12 and ACC are nuts, especially the Big 12, if they're not okay with this. I've already explained why. All right, based on what's been proposed, this is what I like the best, because it's the best way, knowing where college football is going, in my humble opinion, to try to keep the regular season as relevant as possible, keep conference title games as relevant as possible, play-in games, which I actually get excited about, actually mattering, so you can't lose and somehow still get in, all right, and knowing that we're going to expand the college football playoff field and revenue is a driving force in everything going forward. So with all those in mind, again, I've mentioned this before, but just to slow down my fast-speaking self, speak slower so that I make sure I explain it properly, this is what I'd prefer. 14-team playoff. The two top seeds, I would just mandate it has to be a conference champion, get a bye. Now, the playoffs would start the weekend immediately following conference championship weekend, which is also play-in weekend. Yes, I would have play-in games. And so the first round bye would only be 1 week, much like the NFL playoff first round bye for the number one seed in the AFC-NFC is only a week. So it's actually a benefit. You're rested, you're fresh, you're healthy. You didn't have to play an extra game and risk getting hurt, getting banged up. It's an actual benefit, unlike a 25-day layoff, which is what happened last year and probably going to happen in 2026 until things get possibly resolved after that. So, 14-team playoff, okay? The number one and two seed get a bye. They have to be conference champions. Let's be real. Probably going to be Big Ten SEC conference champs 19 times out of 20, 95% of the time, but I would just mandate you got to win your conference to get a bye. That part just makes sense to me. All right, with the Big Ten SEC, I like the playing games of 3 versus 6, 3 hosting 6, the 3-team hosting the 6 seed in both the SEC and the Big Ten. Winner is in, loser is out. Same with the 4-5. So you got the 2 playing games, the Big Ten, the SEC. Winners are in, losers are out. So you got the 4. I'll come back to that. I would still have the Big Ten SEC championship game. Those two teams are in. Those two teams are in. They're fighting most likely for a 1-2 seed. So now that conference championship game matters. And a bye is a big deal. A conference championship, unlike the Oregon last year, matters. And again, even the format we have coming up again next year is probably going to be the 2 teams in the Big Ten and SEC that get the top byes in the 12-team playoff. And so it doesn't really matter if you win or lose the conference championship games next year. Most likely, it wouldn't have last year had we had the format last year. I don't want to jump from format to format. It gets a bit confusing with everything that's been thrown out there. Okay, so the Big Ten and SEC get their automatic 4 bids. All right, the ACC Big 12 get their automatic 2. Then the G5 gets their 1 automatic bid. And then Notre Dame or the next highest rated team. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So 14 teams, top two seeds get a bye. 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5, the Big Ten SEC. The winners of the play-in games are in, the losers are out. The 1 and 2 seeds in the Big Ten and SEC, they're in. They're simply going to play for a conference championship and a first round, most likely a first round bye. So there's your 4 teams from the Big Ten, the SEC. There's 8 of your 14 teams. The Big 12, the ACC are going to get 2 automatic bids. Now, there's no conference title game in the Big 12 or the ACC. There's no perfect system. There's just the best option. To me, this is the best option. All right. And honestly, it makes the Big Ten SEC title game worth that much more to me. But the 1 seed in the Big 12 and ACC would host the 4 seed, 2 would host 3, winners in, losers out. So they get their 2 automatic qualifiers. Now we're up to 12 spots. Notre Dame. I talked about this with Austin last week. No. You're not going to join a conference, my fine friends. You are going to still earn your way in. You don't get to sit on your couch early December, eat mama's Christmas cookies, and walk right into the college football playoff, getting a free bye every year. Okay? Now, they wouldn't get a bye in the first round because they would never win a conference title. But you don't just get a bye every conference championship play-in weekend into the playoff if you're ranked high enough. No. You're going to play the highest remaining ranked team in the entire country that didn't qualify for their play-in game. Whatever conference that is, whatever team that is. And whoever the higher ranked team between Notre Dame and last year would have been Ole Miss, by the way. Whoever the higher ranked team is, Ole Miss was the 7th seed in the SEC. They would not have qualified for a play-in game. So Ole Miss, they were the highest ranked remaining team. They would have played Notre Dame, and whoever's higher ranked between those two hosts the other one. So Notre Dame, okay, they got to earn their way in. Their play-in game is versus the highest ranked team in the country that didn't qualify for a play-in game, which would have been Ole Miss. And then if Notre Dame's ranked higher, they host Ole Miss. If Ole Miss is ranked higher, they host Notre Dame. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Winners in, losers out.
Yes.
Okay. The 14th spot, G5 team. But I've always liked the idea of the top two G5 teams in the country playing for that spot. Winners in, losers out. Now, they'd have to start their season a week before everybody else. There's this thing called week 0. I don't think it's a big deal. Just make that G5 opening weekend. By the way, that's where I'd put Army-Navy. Instead of Army-Navy being at the end, because what if they want to play in the playoff? They can't have their game the same weekend as they've had it in the past. So that week 0 week is all G5 teams, and the creme de la creme on Saturday night, if you want to do it on Sunday, don't care. Whatever day you think is best, Army-Navy is featured, and they are the headline main event of week 0 opening weekend of college football going forward, every year going forward. So all 14 teams have to play a game to get in. If you lose, you are out. So the playing games are actually playing games because you go to a 16-team model. How are you going to fill those last 2 spots? It's going to be teams that lose playing games. It preserves, because now where are we seated during the regular season in the conference? Okay. Now can we get a conference championship? Can we get a bye? Are we hosting? Do we have to go on the road? Now, after the top 2 teams that get a bye, 1 and 2, are seated, after that, this is where the committee has nothing to do with any of this right now, by the way. You notice I've taken those wonderful, lovely human beings who are trying to do a very tough job, just been wildly inconsistent. I've taken them completely out of it. Everything's on the field. There's no politicking. There's no nothing. At some point, the committee has to come in. And that's where they seed everybody. They would seed everybody at this point once everybody's earned their way in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you indifferent? What are your thoughts?
I can't say I hate it. I don't hate it. I don't know. The playoff seeding stuff to me and everything, it's always a rabbit hole that just feels there's no end. There's no end. There's always, it's just a deep dive into a abyss. So yeah, I can't say I hate it, but I don't know.
Okay, so this segment's gonna run a little long. We'll end it here at about 12:10, then we'll get back on track when we come back. So Joel did talk, not to confuse anybody, I probably wouldn't do this because then I think you got to expand beyond a 14 team playoff, and I just don't want to, for reasons I've already diatribed. But he talked about 2.5, 2.5 for the ACC Big 12. So essentially, the one would play 4, 2 versus 3 in the ACC Big 12. So their 5th team from the ACC would play the 5th team for the Big 12 for that extra spot. Winners in, losers out. Okay. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I probably wouldn't add it, in my humble opinion. Those are just my thoughts. But that was something he threw out. I didn't want to play the clip again. And it's interesting because when you look at what happened last year, December, January, there's a lot of people who are like, hey, the SEC should have had more teams. And when you play the games, it doesn't necessarily unfold that way because they lost. You play the games. A lot of SEC teams lost. In fact, the only one that did win was Ole Miss in their bowl game or playoff game that made a deep run or a relatively deep run. And they beat Duke. And I think it was the Duke's Mayo Bowl. All right. You look at baseball, and I've openly said the SEC is probably the best baseball conference. But if you look at baseball, they had more teams get into the NCAA tournament this year than any conference has ever done in history. Their top two teams have already been eliminated. I talked about that yesterday. Okay. And again, you know, this is why I want to play the games. This is why I want it to happen on the field. This isn't a shot at the SEC. This isn't a shot at their baseball. I think they're probably the best baseball and softball conference in the country. It'd be hard-pressed to have a counter-argument, legitimately, in my humble opinion. But, by the way, do you know Texas put Omaha inside their cleats and they didn't even make it to a Super Bowl?
I saw this, yeah. University of Texas at Omaha.
Yeah.
They got eliminated.
That was rough. All right. By the way, randomly, both of the top two seeds fall in regionals in baseball. This is only the second time this has happened since 1999. The other time was 2014. It's been a wild postseason in college baseball. All right. But when you look at this, 9 of the 13 teams from the SEC that qualified in, they're good baseball teams. This is why you play the freaking games. They're already out. They've also had the most amount of teams eliminated before super regionals of any conference in history as well. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been in, but this is why you play the games. This is why I want to play the games. That's all I'm saying. I don't want it decided in a boardroom. I don't want it decided through politicking, through coaches going on national television. Don't want any of that. And when people... Everyone's fine with one G5 squad getting in. There are some folks who think they should do their own tournament, kind of like the NIT, the Not Interested Tournament. Okay, I'm not a fan of that personally, and here's why. Murray State beats Ole Miss and Oxford to reach its first ever super regional in baseball. The Racers became only the 10th number 4 seed in NCAA baseball tournament history to win a regional since 1999. Cinderella Magic in June. That's Ben Stevens on X. I already talked about 9 of the 13 schools being gone in baseball. All right. Let me look at my final notes here. About to head to break. My point is, we have Cinderella. When you talk about the G5 schools and why I want them in, because at some point they're going to try to boot them out and have them go do their own tournament. We get Cinderella in March. We're getting Cinderella because UTSA knocked out Texas. The Roadrunners knocked out the Longhorns. So who would imagine that? Plus Murray State, what I just talked about. We get Cinderella in baseball, but for whatever reason, people kind of don't seem to, as a whole, be a fan of Cinderella in college football, so we've never really given them an entire chance. Cincinnati got in the playoff 1 year. Got mollywopped by Alabama, but who hasn't? Let's be honest. I like the G5 team, still getting a seat at the table. And if they get killed, 60-30, 60-3, 53-3, there's undefeated Power 5 conferences who've been beaten 63-3. What's the difference? If it's an 8-4 Purdue team, by the way, you have 16 teams, you're going to get a 4-loss team in. Who loses by 30 versus a Boise State? And what if Boise wins? I'm more interested in Boise winning, undefeated Boise going to round 2 than I am an 8-4 Purdue. And if they both get blown out, what's the difference? At least there was a little bit of intrigue in Boise, whereas Purdue, I'm not really that intrigued at all, to be honest with you. Okay. I knew that would be lengthy. I tried to go relatively quickly. Final thought, we'll go to break. My main goals for the college football playoff, preserve the regular season, preserve meaningful games, non-conference games, increase fan engagement, stop turning fans off, increase valuable non-conference games. I just mentioned that. Minimize the inclusion of the committee until necessary. Let them do their fine job then. Make it a clear-cut path. How do we get in? How do we earn it? Make it obvious and keep more conferences as relevant as possible. That would be my goal. I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts, go ahead and text in on the text line. When we come back, all right, we'll chat about what some anonymous Big Ten coaches had to say about Nebraska football this year, expectations, good, bad, indifferent, Matt Rhule, and the like. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.